You fucking your faces.
Nu știu, nu știu, da? So, dear Itzhak, dear colleagues, dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, it's a pleasure to welcome you at the meeting. For the first time, it is organized as a video conference, but nevertheless, I hope or believe that it will go as smoothly as always and that it will be successful. So, let's start, and I am passing word to our chairman, Itzhak Tseruya.
May I, before that, just to say that GINR management is mostly as here. For example, Vice Director Richard Lednitsky, Chief Scientific Secretary Alexander Sorin here, Vice Director Vladimir Kikiliz is here, so, and some on the screens you may see him. So we all ready and waiting for your participation. Thank you for coming, for using.
Thank you very much, Victor. Nice to see you. And nice to see all the others that are joined and are present at this meeting. I think that we have a relatively strong participation of the PAC members. I have I will go through the names of those that I have identified, and if I have missed someone, so please correct me. So we have Edward Boss and John Clemens, Stanislav Dubniska, Antonio Hereditato, Hans Goodbrod, Peter Histroff, Laszlo Jankowski, Joachim Munch, Peter Cevada, and Fuchang Wong. I hope I didn't miss anyone, so welcome everyone, and we will start now our meeting. I will propose that everyone goes from now on mute, and for the presentations we will let each speaker talk without interruption, and only at the end of his presentation we will have time for questions. And if you have a question, you have two options: either you can raise your hand, or you can use the chat window in order to write your question. So with this clarification, so let me start with my first presentation. I will have to go and pull up my presentation. Just one moment. Okay, I will now start sharing my screen, and you have to tell me whether you see my slides. Okay, I started the sharing. Do you see my slides?
Yes, okay. Let's make a full screen option.
Yes, we see. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Right, so I will go now into full screen mode. Great. So, okay, so this is the usual presentation where I somehow remind to you our last recommendations from the previous PAC meeting, and some updates before starting the agenda of today. So my outline is some highlights from the recommendations of the last PAC meeting that will include also the decision from the last Scientific Council meeting that took place in February. Then some recent developments. As you have seen, we have somehow a restricted agenda at this meeting, so we will not have the usual reports from the section of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries, but I will just mention a few items which I think are important for the PAC members to know, and then go to the agenda of today. So let me start with the highlights of the previous PAC concerning the NICA. The main issue that we have at the agenda is the booster installation and commissioning. That work, this work has started. And in parallel to that, there was lots of activity towards the starting of the collider assembly. There were many milestones that were presented to us. For example, May, June, the booster should be commissioned with the beam. September of this year was foreseen to be the delivery of the transport line from the booster to the Nicotron. And the end of this year was for the first operation of the booster plus Nucleotron. And this summer should start the collider assembly. Yeah, this thing is a little bit under question due to all the impact of this crisis that we are all facing, and we will hear today what is the impact of this pandemic on the timeline of the on the NICA project. On the infrastructure, as you know, there is a huge package concerning the construction of new buildings, the upgrading of plants for liquid nitrogen and liquid helium, the upgrade of the grid power supply, and development of thermal grids and pipelines. In the picture there, you can see what was the status of the NICA collider site at the time of February 20, and now you can see how it looks like on May 20. So by just looking at those two pictures, you can see a clear progress. So I'm very pleased to see that, but in spite of the fact that right after February we had we entered the confined era, so in spite of that there was significant work being done that is visible on this picture, but we will hear a more quantitative assessment of the situation in a few moments today. Concerning the MPD, the MPD is getting ready for starting installation of equipment in the hall. The hall is almost ready. Here you can see a picture of the hall. Again, this picture is from February. And we will see some updates later today. The ECAL production was supposed to start pretty soon in China. Unfortunately, it seems that this has not yet happened. But again, we shall hear from Adam later on an update on the status of the ECAL. Concerning the BIETA MATEN is focusing its efforts in the completion of the experimental setup for the heavy iron run in 2021. Here you can see, for example, the tracking station that will be a hybrid configuration of silicon stations and gem stations. In parallel to that, they have been working on the analysis of short-range correlations, and we shall hear from that later. Now, we had a lot of projects that we reviewed the last time, some of them for were seeking continuation. There was a new project. We had also reports from the LHC experiments. I will not go through any of those. I will have the opportunity to mention them again in the framework of the Scientific Council discussions. And furthermore, none of them is coming to the agenda of today's meeting, so I will be brief and we'll move ahead and go right now to the Scientific Council decisions. The meeting of the Scientific Council took place in February 2021 at JNR, and the concerning their general considerations or remarks that they made that are relevant for the PAC PP, I have here a few bullets. First, the Scientific Council notes with satisfaction the commissioning and the the commissioning of the booster and of the work that is ongoing for the installation of the superconducting magnets for the MPD collider. The Scientific Council was also pleased and welcomed the new agreements of joint activities signed with five Polish and five Mexican research center groups, as well as the updated JNR GSI collaboration agreement on German participation in the NICA project. The Scientific Council also congratulate the leaders of the NICA project, Igor Meshkov and Vladimir Kekelitse, on their election as full members and corresponding members of the Russian Academy of Science, respectively. And I think that you will join me in congratulating both of them and wishing them all success in these new functions. Concerning the common usage, the Scientific Council strongly supports the recommendation made by the PAC for Nuclear Physics that all proposals for new projects and requests for extensions of new themes or projects should contain full information on required financial and human resources, as well as a SWOT analysis. Concerning the recommendations related to the PAC-PP, in general, and as usual, the Scientific Council endorsed and support all the recommendations that were made by the PAC-PT. In particular, the Scientific Council was... I think everybody should go on mute at this stage. The Scientific Council was pleased to note that all the magnets of the booster synchrotron have been installed in the ring and the commissioning work has started. The Scientific Council also welcomed the efforts of the MPD collaboration to develop the detectors for the first stage, with the completion of completing them by the end of 2021. And it appreciates the ongoing efforts for the BM-ATEN team towards the completion of the experimental setup for the heavy ion run that is foreseen in 2021. Now, concerning the new projects extension of projects that were seeking a continuation, the Scientific Council notes with pleasure that the action plan previously requested from the N64 experiment to improve the ratio of FTE to participants and to attract students, to get more involved in data analysis, is satisfactorily addressing the respective proposals, and they endorse the PAC recommendation to continue the general participation in this project for the period of 21-23 with first priority. The Scientific Council notes that the revised proposal of the FASA experiment at GINR did not answer the criticism raised at the previous PAC meeting, and the Scientific Council seconds the PAC's recommendation to reject the FASA project. Concerning the three experiments, MUE2E, MEG2, and COMET, the Scientific Council concurs with the PAC that participation in three different experiments with very similar scientific goals and competing with each other is not fully justified. The Scientific Council supports the PAC's proposal to focus efforts and resources on only one of those three experiments, thus providing better conditions for the GINR team to achieve a stronger impact, visibility, and leadership in that experiment. The Scientific Council endorsed the PAC's recommendation to approve the project with the three experiments for only 1 year, and this should allow enough time for the proponents in coordination with the DLNP director and the GINR management to decide on their long-term involvement in this interesting physics project. Wait, what is going on? Oh, we cannot move. Okay. Now, we had also reports from the three LHC experiments, ATLAS, ANDES, and CMS. They all outlined their progress in data analysis and the hardware work. And from the three, only ATLAS was at this stage requesting a continuation, and this was endorsed by the Scientific Council for the period 2021-2023 with first priorities. Now, concerning recent developments, from the time of our last PAC, the DM-ATTEN and the MPD had their fifth collaboration meeting at GINR. However, as you can see, the meeting took place in April, and this was a full online meeting for both collaborations. Another significant development is that the first short-range correlation paper is now under internal review within the BM-ATTEN collaboration and should be ready soon for submission for publication to Nature. Now, as I mentioned, the session of the Committee of Plenipotentialists took place earlier this month. You can have plenty of details about that session in the additional material that is posted on the agenda page of this PAC meeting. I have only singled out a few of their decisions that I think of quite importance for all of us to know. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the actions taken by the General Directorate to ensure general activities under conditions of the pandemic of the COVID-19 coronavirus infection, of the decision on the special modes of general operation set for the period of suspension of scientific and educational activities at the Institute, as well as all health protection measures for the staff. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries commended the efforts being taken by the GINR Directorate towards gradual resumption of general activities in full, along with careful monitoring of the epidemiological situation. Another important item was the appointment of a general vice director based on the report from the director Viktor Matveyev, the committee of plenipotentiaries, and also the appointment of first vice director Grigory Trubnikov, of the vice director Sergei Dmitriev and Boris Cherkov, till the completion of a term of office of the general director on 31st of December 2021. And I believe that I can, on behalf of all the PAC members, congratulate Grigory, Sergei and Boris for these appointments. Last thing, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries, after having heard and discussed the information calling for the elections and nomination of candidates for the position of Director of General, presented by CP Chair Valery Falkov and General Director Viktor Matveyev, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries resolved to call the election of the General Director for the CP session in November 20. So these are the news from this session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. As I mentioned before, you are encouraged to look at the full report that is posted under additional materials on the webpage of this meeting. Now, this brings me to the agenda of today. As I mentioned, we have a restricted agenda that is limited to the most pressing issues. You can see the details here. The highlights is to understand for each of the main topics, MiCA, MPD and BIETA-MATEN, what is the impact of the pandemic on those activities, and then we will have discussion on new projects that are seeking continuation, MPD, COMPASS, TAIGA, JUNO-DAIA Bay, and NOVA JUNE. And with this, I thank you very much for your attention. If there are any questions, I will be happy to answer them. Are there any questions? I don't see any. I don't see also anything on the chat. Okay. So then we move with the agenda, and we will start with the talk by Anatoly Sidorin on the implementation of the Nucleotron MiCA project. Anatoly, please, the floor is yours. You can share your screen.
Dear PAC members, dear colleagues, do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I will start my presentation, implementation of the Nucleotron MiCA project on behalf of Accelerator Division of Laboratory for High Energy Physics. And contents of my report, you can see at this slide. And I think more important news about the booster assembly and commissioning. I will say a few words about plans for the NICA construction, revised for the moment, and short information about Machine Advisory Committee, which took place in online regime at the end of the May. And I will remind you picture of our booster. The booster includes cryomagnetic system, which is located inside the yoke of the synchrophasotron, and four straight sections. One of them for injection system, another one for acceleration stations. Third section is used for extraction, and last straight section for electron cooling. The booster includes also power supply system, and elements of the power supply system are located at the top of the synchropositron magnet, and important part of the booster is so-called reference period, including a few superconducting magnets, and feeds through for current and liquid helium and liquid nitrogen. And what is the status now? Injection system, elements of the injection system, electrostatic septum and inflector plates are installed and tested. Are installed at nominal place, tested for high voltage and vacuum, and now under assembly bypass for liquid helium and current for cryomagnetic system. The transfer line from heavy iron linear accelerator to the booster is already connected to the electrostatic septum, and all injection chain is prepared for operation. RF accelerating system is assembled and also prepared for operation. And RF accelerating system is installed at the hot section of the booster, and now under assembly elements of hot to cold section transition and beam pipe. Here you can see status of assembly of the fast extraction system. Kicker of fast extraction system is tested and located at nominal place, and under assembly system bypass cryostats and system of the bypass. Electron cooling system was tested a few months ago and prepared for operation, and now under completion assembly of the vacuum chamber, connection between vacuum chamber of electron cooling system and the booster, and connection between cold and warm booster section. All other system, control system, elements of the control system, elements of diagnostic are also practically prepared for operation. Most critical point for the moment is assembly and test and assembly of the reference period. It includes a few magnets, dipole magnets and two quadrupole magnets. Now the magnets under the cryogenic test. This reference period also includes two current lead in modules. They are under assembly. You can see on the small photo at the top of the picture. And also two cryogenic feed boxes, which is also under assembling. Which problems was located during assembly of the cryomagnetic system? We obtained leak in the helium cooling channels. The leaks was we detected in the insulators, and leak localization and repairing work required two additional weeks. Leak in the thermal shield cooled with liquid nitrogen. Leak we detected in the connections. Clarification of the reason led to the conclusion that a complete reassembly with improved flanges and few sealing rings is necessary. And you can see here the source of the defect. The flange was mechanically destroyed. Leak in the body of liquid helium valve. You can also see the current lead in cryostat material. Defects were revealed during testing of finished assembly. It was cracks in the blemish, and it requires also additional period of time to fix this problem. I should say also that it is not only technical problems, but also problem related with COVID situation and for delivery of some very simple elements, not big contracts, the issues required for repairment required more time than in usual situation. And what is the status with the vacuum system? Now under the assembly pump stations for the cold beam pipe and pump station of the insulating volume, you can see design of this pump stations. Beam pipe is under assembly step by step and under test. And for the moment, what is situation with the booster? All mine system are prepared for operation. Now, accelerator division is concentrated on assembly and test of reference period, bypasses, and beam pipe, vacuum system for beam, and insulating vacuum volume. About 30% of beam pipe are assembled and tested to the moment. For the moment, we hope that all these works will be completed in August of 2020, August of this year. We have for the moment delay in accordance with initial plans about 2 months, and this delay is caused by problems identified during technological tests, and we expected similar problems. And also part of delay is related to limitation due to COVID pandemic situation. What is about plans, our plans for the NICAC construction? First of all, following to the recommendation of NICAC Cost and Schedule Review Committee, which was provided in February of this year, a few new offices was organized, for instance, planning office on the leading by Sergei Костромин, and this office provided restoration of global plans for NICA complex construction, and was prepared and approved preliminary list of milestones by this office under leading of Sergei Костромин. And here you see, you can see at this slide key milestones of the NICA project realization, and maybe most important points are listed here. This year we need to provide booster commissioning with the beam. We need to complete construction of cryogenic compressor station. For the next year, we plan to provide first operation of the channel between booster and nucleotron. We need to provide first operation of the booster together with nucleotron for baryonic method nucleotron experiment. And for the 2022 year, we expect start of the collider operation at the fall of 2022. And what is the progress with collider elements construction and design? I will show only one slide. And now production of the superconducting magnets for the collider is in progress, and about 20% of dipole magnets are already prepared for assembly. Now big work under leading by Igor Mishkov is provided to improve design of insertion of the collider with taking into account impedances of all elements. And here, for instance, one of the elements of the collider, it is collimator for particles with large amplitude of oscillations. In May of this year, at the end of the May, was provided 11th session of NICA Mission Advisory Committee. Due to present limitation, due to COVID pandemic, did not allow the usual in-person meeting. Therefore, the MAC meeting was organized as a video conference. The discussion was restricted to an update of the project and the most urgent issues of the project. Despite the unusual situation, the video meeting provided a good overview of the status and an efficient discussion of the most urgent problems. During 3 days was presented 14 reports dedicated to different systems of the collider, and all materials of this meeting is available on Indica service. Especially for the MAC session, we had no possibility to demonstrate directly to MAC members our progress. Especially for the MAC session, a few video materials were prepared under support of GNR Scientific Information Division. And here you can see visual fragment of visual excursion to the booster, and all video materials are available at this site. MAC Mission Advisory Committee presented review of this meeting to our directorate, and I can show you a few, in my opinion, most important statements of MAC Advisory Committee. First of all, it is from quotation from minutes of the MAC Advisory Committee. We appreciate patient and hard work to achieve the Collider Beam commissioning in the middle of 2022. Only 2 years are left before the commissioning. Cryogenic test of 80 magnets per year has to be increased by a factor of 2. Manpower will become a great problem if no additional staff can be hired and trained rapidly. Based on the present situation, the collider installation, according to the schedule, is jeopardized. And similar statement was repeated in response to charge list from GNR directorate. And first question from the charge list was how the MAC does estimate in general the state of the project execution and progress achieved since the previous MAC meeting, schedule for the complex construction and commissioning, and answer of the MAC members. The project in general is making continuous progress due to the dedicated and competent work of the project team. However, several delays occurred and must be expected in future. A clear reason is the lack of experienced staff for many tasks within the project. Most prominent examples are magnet production, cryogenics, and all kinds of control system for the new facility. They are significant efforts to improve the manpower situation, but it is very difficult to recruit the required experts. And MAC asked Accelerator Division to show this recommendation as soon as possible to our experts. And I close my talk. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Anatoly. So this presentation is now open for questions or comments. Are there any ones?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This problem with the manpower for the testing of the magnets, this is in view of the obligation of GNR to test also fair magnets of CIS-100. Can you fulfill your commitments in both places?
In principle, these problems relate to each other, and we have obligations for quadruple doublets for SIS-100 and also magnets for the collider. To complete both works in time, we need to provide total clock operation of our facility. For the moment, we can operate only half of total time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, along those lines, Anatoly, what is your response to those two recommendations from the Machine Advisory Committee?
First of all, Machine Advisory Committee provide many fruitful recommendations for different technical systems and requested additional information to provide more accurate recommendations. Our step is to present required additional information. After that, following to recommendation of MAC, we start preparation of the program how to increase manpower for magnet production. I think it is our first goal.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned the delay of 2 months for the booster installation. Was there any impact of the situation concerning the collider itself, or the collider, the problem is just manpower, but not additional ones?
We had some delay in the equipment delivery for the transport line from nucleotron to collider, and a few elements of the collider equipment, but it is not critical. It is not critical for our plans for collider construction. And most critical point is construction, fabrication of elements of the magnetic system.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question about the issues that you discovered during the technological test, the helium leaks and etc. Are these within the normal expectation, or they're unexpected? And what plan is in place for future problems? As it's related to manpower as well.
In principle, we have a big amount of equipment produced by different producers, and we expected technical problems in connections between different equipment. And in principle, these problems are not so important. It requires technical work. This technical work was more complicated due to COVID situation for the moment. But in principle, in future, we also expected possible problems in the beam pipe test and commissioning. But equipment requires work.
Great. Any other questions? Okay, well then, thank you very much, Anatoly. We move now to the next presentation by Nikolai Agopov, and he will talk about the infrastructure developments, including the nucleotron. Agopov, the floor is
yours. You can see me?
Yes, we see you.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, dear colleagues. The subject of my report is NIC infrastructure development, including the nucleotron. From the very beginning, I would like to say that despite of pandemic situation, all directions of the infrastructure had been developed mostly at the necessary tempo. Due to the epidemic, there were no downtime. If we had some difficulties, they were caused by other reasons. You can see here the outline of the presentation. As usual, I'd like to give you an overview of construction of new buildings, upgrading of plants for liquid helium and nitrogen production, and modernization of power supply systems. About 2 months ago, the project management finished developing and approved the key milestones of NECA realization. This document is shown here in the slide. It's clear that the infrastructure developments are the important part of this milestone sheet. During my report, I intend to compare the progress of work with the items of presented here. As you know, the main buildings which we are going to construct are Collider Building, NECA Innovation Center, and new compressor hall. The key milestones of the Collider Building construction are presented in these pictures. May 2020, MPD Hall is ready for magnet assembly. In July this year, Western Half Ring and Nucleotron Collider channels are ready to install the equipment. Next year, March 2021, Eastern Half Ring and all straight channels are ready to install the equipment. And in December next year, Collider Building is fully complete. Here you can see MPD Hall, which in May had to be ready to accept the superconducting magnet of the detector. Sadly, there is a small but annoying delay. Due to non-compliance with technology and high air humidity, a large amount of water has condensed in the inner walls of the building. This has led to the necessity of repeating a number of finishing works. We are waiting for their completion any day now. Next slide illustrates the progress of the Collider Western Half Ring construction. And here you can see the progress of tunnels erection for the Nucleotron Collider channels. In general, almost all of the work in Building 17 is being performed in accordance with the plan approved 2 months ago. Starting from the current year, even before the total completion of the construction, many halls of the Collider Building will be ready to install the equipment. As for the NECA Innovation Center, the Institute of Unit Construction Arena continues designing. The main reason for the delays was obligation to bring the concept and architectural decision in line with the planned funding. Main milestones of the NECA Center construction are 2020 December. Project will be approved by the main state expertise, and 2022 November, the building will be commissioned. Let's now talk about new compressor station under construction. This building is of key importance to complete the cryogenic complex. All equipment for this building was manufactured a long time ago, delivered to the lab, and is ready to be installed in proper places. As I said last time, the construction of this building, which is being performed by Stoytech Invest Company, is very delayed. The reason was that this company had no experience of industrial construction. But now, a big part of the work has been transferred to another company. This is a Genstock company, Cryogen Montage, which is well known and very experienced in cryogenic engineering. After this, we hope that things will get better. At present time, the construction tempo of this building is coming to be satisfactory. Here you can see key milestones of the new compressor building. 2020 December, construction of the cryogenic compressor station completed, and 2021 August, a new compressor station is commissioned. Next slide shows the progress of this building construction. You can see here several compressor units already installed on the foundation. The next point of my talk is upgrading of plants for liquid helium and nitrogen production. As you remember, the NICA cryogenics will be based on the liquid helium plant that was built earlier for the Nucleotron. For the NICA complex, the total refrigerator capacity will be increased from existing 4 kilowatts to 10 kilowatts at liquid helium temperature. New cryogenic equipment of the NICA complex will be placed in four locations. Building 1B at the central cryogenic plant, in the new building under construction, in building 17 for the collider, and under open sky. Almost all units of the cryogenic equipment have been already delivered or ready to be transported from the producer factory. The exception is the nitrogen gas holder, which will be completed during the current year. For the central cryogenic plant, we have already got the following elements: helium liquefier, satellite refrigerator for the booster synchrotron, for draining and air purification units, the nitrogen liquefier with capacity of 1.3 ton per hour, and nitrogen recondenser. At the new compressor station, there will be two new helium screw compressors with capacity of 6.6 thousand normal cubic meter per hour each, and three nitrogen turbo compressors with the capacity of more than 10,000 normal cubic meter per hour. For the cryogenic plant, in building 17, we have already got two satellite refrigerators. For the collider, the nitrogen recondenser and liquid nitrogen tank. Currently, the installation and commissioning of cryogenic equipment is being intensively carried out. Here is a complete list of key steps to finish this work. In June 2022, the NICA cryogenics has to be fully ready. Let's now talk about power supply systems. This page reminds you the estimated power distribution of the main transformer station R1 after the startup of the NICA complex. The main users will be a booster, collider, new compressor hall, and computer cluster. For the NICA requirements, all the main internal electrical systems of the lab have to be upgraded. In this slide, you see the already reconstructed substations, substation 13, it is the source of electric current for the Neutron magnets and will be one of the two main centers of electricity for a collider, MPD and SPD. Substation 42 provides power supply for the test facility of superconducting magnets. Substation 11 will be used for electron cooling system of the booster. And substation K will provide power supply for the beam extraction line from the nucleotron. Three more substations are subjects to upgrade in near future. Another five units will be constructed as part of Building 17. Commissioning dates of these 6 kV substations are shown in this slide. Substation 12, projected for the nucleotron and booster, has to be ready in November this year. Substation 15, intended to supply energy for building 205 and collider, is planned to be put into operation in March next year. And the biggest substation, 21, for the Bos compressor station, is scheduled to be commissioned in June 2021. For all these substations, the complete sets of technical documentation have been prepared and approved. Contracts for the equipment production have been signed, and the work to replace leading cable lines is underway. As for distribution and transformer equipment for Building 17, all the ready-made modular buildings have been already mounted on foundations. Commissioning is in progress and supply cable lines are being installed. In this slide, you can see the installation progress of the modular building. As you know, Joint Institute has two 110 kV transformer substation at the line Tempe-Dubna. After the reconstruction of the first one, which will supply the energy for all MECA facilities, the permissible load will be almost doubled up to about 40 megawatts. The required capacity will provide by two new transformers already manufactured by joint stock company Siemens Transformers. As for the remaining equipment, a contract to supply the current limited reactors was signed, and a tender to select supplier of 6 kV distribution devices is in progress. As shown in this slide, the completion and commissioning of this main transformer station have to be fulfilled in July next year. That's all I have planned to say. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Nikolai. Any questions, comments?
I just asked the question on 390 cubic meter water per hour. Do you have a cooling tower or you use Volga water?
It's atmosphere. It's from atmosphere. It's condensate on the wall.
So you have a cooling tower somewhere?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much, Nikolai. And we move now to the presentation of Mikhail Kapishin on the status of the BMATEN project. Mikhail, the floor is yours. Please, Nikolai, stop sharing your screen, Nikolai.
Yes.
And Michael, you can share yours now. Okay. Just go into full screen mode. Great.
Can
we don't hear you, Michael?
Could you hear me?
We hear you, we don't see you, but we hear you.
Okay, it's fine. So I will present the status of the baryonic matter at Nucleotron project. Okay, at the second slide, this is a fixed target experiment. You saw this picture many times. What is new here is that presently the higher limit for the energy of heavy ion beams now is limited to 3.8 GV per nucleon for heavy ions, for gold. And this limitation is based on the, to get the safe operation of the nucleotron, so the maximum value of the magnetic field in the nucleotron ring. Then I go to the events during from the last PAC meeting. We had a fifth collaboration meeting at BMTN. It took place in April. At the meeting, we focused on recent results obtained in carbon nucleus and argon nucleus interactions. As well, we reviewed the status of detector components to prepare to future heavy ion physics program. So more than 40 reports were presented at the collaboration meeting. Here you see the configuration of BMTN for future heavy ion physics program, and on the upper photo, the present setup of BMTN. So I will say a few words about the collaboration. Presently, we have 246 participants from 20 institutions and 10 countries. At the last meeting, we accepted a new member. It's St. Petersburg University into the collaboration. Now about physics results, which were delivered recently. So these are preliminary results, but they can be shown at seminars and conferences. They are related to study of short-range correlations of nucleons with hard inverse kinematic reactions. The experimental run was performed 2 years ago in 2018. For that, we modified the configuration of the BMTN detectors, implemented two arms of detectors to measure scattered protons, one from the liquid hydrogen target, another from the beam, carbon beam. Reaction was in inverse kinematics. It means that all the fragments go forward with high momentum and energy. It could be measured by our detectors. So the aim was to measure two types of reactions which are sensitive to the short-range correlations of nucleons. One for sensitive to neutron-proton correlation, where in the final state we should measure boron-10 and neutron, and another reaction with beryllium-10 and proton. So the design was focused to measure two scattered protons at about 90 degree in center mass system. Between them, momentum was 4 GV per nucleon for carbon beam. So the aim was detection of A-2 system. These are boron-10 and beryllium-10, and reconstruction all the components of the reaction, finally, so that we can measure different kinematical variables and identify this system. As a feasibility study, we also measured quasi-elastic scattering with A-1 in the final state. It means boron-11. This reaction is theoretically well known, studied, but it shows the ability they set up to measure these types of processes. So you see on the plot below how we can identify different fragments, boron 11, boron 10, beryllium 10, and so on in lighter fragments. And the first step was to identify this quasi-elastic scattering with a single proton not out. This reaction, the identification of protons was finally done with a missing mass method. We can separate a quasi-elastic process in the reaction of carbon 12 to proton with two protons in the final state and boron 11. And we can see in the plots that missing energy, missing an angular distribution of two protons, quasi-elastic processes, inelastic processes, and initial and final state interactions. What was important by selection of this exclusive reaction that we suppress final state and initial state interactions. And then this reaction is viewed as a back-to-back topology in the two-proton topology with back-to-back angles in the transverse plane. And also we can see separation in missing mass momentum from the, you see separation from the final state interactions, which are blue curve here. So the next step was to study already short-range correlations. Then we measured boron 10 or beryllium 10. Neutron or proton were not measured, but using kinematics of the reaction and of conservation of the energy and momentum, selected limited statistics of this type of events, 26 boron events and 3 beryllium events, but they are in accordance with what we expect for neutron proton pair dominance. It should be here by a factor of 10 less proton-proton pair than neutron-neutron pair. And by measuring the momentum for missing momentum and momentum of the fragment, can reconstruct also momentum of the SRC pair shown here. So the statistics is limited, of course, but at least it showed that experiment is feasible to measure this type of processes, and we are keen to continue these measurements with improved setup and higher statistics in future runs. Now I go to the upgrade the BMTN detectors for heavy iron program. We plan to start in fall 21 with initial configuration of hybrid central tracker, which includes 7 GEM station in full acceptance, and 3 forward silicon stations in front of the GEMs and behind the target and trigger detectors, and carbon fiber vacuum beam pipe will follow the trajectory of the beam. This configuration aims for moderate intensity, few 10 to 5 hertz, and for stage 2 we plan to run with a high intensity, few 10 to 6, and for that we put here 4 large aperture silicon tracking system with fast electronics, and we also have to replace front-end electronics in GEM detectors to cope with the higher intensity of the beam. This on the stage 2 of the operation after 2022, but in our plan. Forward silicon tracking detectors, which were shown, consist of 3 planes with a hole for the beam in increased acceptance, and will consist from upper and lower parts combined together. There are also this type of detectors already proven, the technology is proven, and the electronics, which although can work with a moderate intensity up to a few 10 to 5. But we expect that this station will be ready by middle 21. And large aperture silicon tracking system, which are developed in collaboration with CBM. This is a more complicated device. In particular, there's need for quality assurance of cables and models, and later that's why not all the this not all the models went through the assurance test, and they the procedure was modified. Then they installed a ladder assembly device to produce the whole letters, and all these developments they take time. So the device itself has a complicated model, readout cable, and ladder assembly. And these front-end boards and GBTX emulator data transmission board are still in development. We have to use trigger mode in BMA10 in comparison with free stream mode for CBM. And this all this type of electronics should be developed. That's why we expect a rather long commissioning phase for this type of devices. It's more complicated device. But the positive thing is that hopefully we got support from the BMBF to get a more active participation of GSI in BMA10. Other detectors, beam detectors, which are silicon tracking detectors and target stations, show here. This target station with possibility to exchange targets, three targets and empty target, then three silicon tracking detectors, which can be replaced in case of need or removed from the beam, then movable beam profile detector, which will be used to adjust the beam to the setup and then remove it from the operation when stable conditions are established. Then trigger detectors, which are barrel detector and silicon multiplicity detector, shown here. All the detectors should be ready by middle of 2021, but of course the detector performance for in heavy ion beam should be tested in the first run. Then trigger and T0 detectors for heavy ions. For moderate intensity, we plan to use scintillating field detectors, very thin, with air light guides and phototube readout. For higher intensity, we had to use plan to use silicon T0 silicon detectors for T0, also thin silicon detectors. And another option is fast forward detectors, a la MPD, which are crystals, Cherenkov crystals, and will read signals from gamma decays from pi zeros and will provide T0 signal. But in any case, we have to prove that all these technologies are working, and we'll test it in the first runs. Then beam pipe in front of the target, already delivered to Dubna. It gives a possibility to use standard boxes to install, for example, silicon tracking detectors, trigger counters, silicon profile meters, and they can be one detector could be replaced by another in case of need. So this type is ready. Then another important part is a carbon beam pipe inside the BMA10 detector setup. It was a rather long procedure, tender procedure. As a result, we up to now got only a prototype. The beam pipe, one section of the beam pipe, and tested it on vacuum. And also some tests were performed in rash on radiation. The next stage is to produce the whole beam pipe with interconnectors and also test these interconnectors on radiation resistance. But the aim is to produce the whole beam pipe by middle 21. But there is some delay due to the COVID epidemic with the contract, full contract. So here is the status of all the components for the BMA10 upgrade. what is not covered up to now is gem tracking detectors. In my talk, all detectors are produced at CERN, tested in carbon, argon, and krypton runs, but we have no proven fast front-end electronics for high-intensity run. We have two possible versions, but no proven electronics up to now. Then, for outer tracker, we aim to use cathode strip chambers, four chambers to cover top 400 system will be ready, definitely will be ready by end of this year. But there's a risk in, of delay in production of two big chambers, which plan to cover the TOF system, TOF 700, because it's a new design, new production, and could be delayed in the production. Then a time of flight system is ready and was operational already in 2018. The rest I explain to you. What's still needed is a transport channel from Nucleotron to BMA-10. It's 160 meters. It includes vacuum beam pipe and also includes magnetic optics. And you heard that there are now contracts under realization to build a new power station to supply magnetic elements the channel with power, and this is a rather lengthy, long contract. Another critical point is a new cryogenic station to operate Nucleotron and booster, and also contract, also large contract to build this vacuum channel. So we expect heavy ion beams in fall 2021. But there's a risk that will be a delay due to one of these factors. So this is all for the moment. Thank you for attention.
Thank you, Mikhail. Any questions or comments?
I have a question on the, that's Hans. I have a question to the limited or downgrading of the energy in this channel. If I miss one full GeV, I'm missing a lot of physics. And can that be restored to 4.9 GeV per nucleon?
As I understand, in future, the accelerator team, they plan to increase it to 4.5 GeV. But at the first stage, to provide a safe operation of Nucleotron, which is a rather old accelerator, they want to run with 3.8 GeV per nucleon.
So your beamline...
But there are promises.
Promise, and your beamline is built for full energy, 4.9 GeV.
No, now this beamline, the curvature beamline, considers 3.8 GeV for 90% of magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So if it will be a 4.5, it would be 100% of the magnetic field in our analyzing magnet. But now we focus on 3.8. It's more realistic from mm-hmm. that point.
So it's temporary, okay?
I hope it is temporary and it stays temporary. Okay. Any other comments or question?
I have a couple of questions about the short-range correlation study. You have 26 events for the NP short-range correlation. Do you have background or do you...
Background is on the level of these three events for beryllium. So these three events also have a background level of the order of three. And for boron 10, we also mm-hmm. have a background on the level of three, four events. So it's definitely above the background, these 26 events.
Okay, so...
Okay.
So this is about four sigma measurement? Three, four sigma measurement?
Yes. But for us, it's important that the setup is able to measure this type of processes and feasible. This measurement is feasible, and this is the main important for us, so we can foresee new runs with improved identification of protons and improved setup to get more statistics.
Okay. How many events do you have total in order to have your result, 26?
It was millions. Altogether, we collected, including the calibration trigger, maybe 20 million of events. The point was that protons were not identified, the scattered protons. We identified finally them by missing mass here, you see. Future, we plan to implement a colorimeter to separate protons from pions, at least. And of course, and we plan, so the selection criteria were rather harsh to clearly identify two protons and to see this back-to-back topology, which is clearly show that this is back-to-back topology and missing mass. So we lose many events due to the misidentified protons and due to the harsh selection criteria. In future, we plan, of course, to improve it.
Okay. I have two more simple questions, Isaac, if you can allow me to.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do you see a breakup of carbon 12 into three alpha particles?
Up to now, we haven't analyzed this type of events. You see on the plot that there are helium 4 here, but if three helium 4 or other combinations, up to now we have not analyzed. We concentrated on explicitly on these processes, which are now shown here as circles. But of course, we can study it. You see, it's
possible. It might be interesting to look at this process in your data.
Yes.
They add something to that, Fruzhang. The situation was so horrible that Michael has correctly said they have to redo it under much better situations and performance. And they had all crap in the beam. Can you imagine carbon? They wanted to have carbon. They get even oxygen beams in. So this experiment, I wonder whether you would send this to Nature or something like that. I consider that a good test, and Michael knows exactly what they have to improve to do the real solid good physics run. That's my opinion, and we keep saying that since long.
Yeah, the contamination of the beam is an annoyance, but there is no problem in selecting an incoming carbon and making sure that you have an incoming carbon and discard all the others. That was not a problem there.
Yes, on the level of 3 or 4 sigma, we can separate carbon from nitrogen and oxygen. So using amplitude information in counters, in our scintillating counters.
But since Grigory is, I think, here, we still, from the machine point, we don't know why oxygen is coming through at these energies. It's crazy.
It's a feature of this high luck injector, because on laser source, if there's no mixture, no fraction of nitrogen and oxygen in the beam, only carbon. We also observed in the previous. But if we use this high Linux source, and this was the feature.
One more question, if I may. Is it possible to have, and this is a far reaching question, is it possible to have boring 11 beam so you can measure proton boring 11 reaction? The motivation is that this is a fusion reaction proton bordering 11 into 3 alphas, and that cross section measurement is very, very useful, is very much needed.
Yes, but I cannot answer. It's a question to the accelerator division if they manage to accelerate Borm 11. Maybe they can answer.
I think for the sake of time, we will stop here. We can continue this offline. Thank you very much, Michael. And we move now to the report from Adam Kishel on the status of the MPD. So please, Capishin, stop sharing your screen.
Hello.
Now you can start sharing.
Yes. Dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues, I would like to present a report, the status report on the progress report on the MPD project, as well as the request for the extension of the projects for the next 5 years. The MPD experiment, the MPD project, aims to study the QCD phase diagram in the unexplored region. The region which has not been so far explored by accelerators at high energy, and they will not be explored by accelerators at low energy. And the particular feature of this region is the maximum baryonic density, which is expected to be created there. And as we are learning more and more recently, this is the region of great interest because the several aspects of the physics of neutron stars, and especially of neutron star mergers, actually seems to be accessing the same region of phase space. And with the measurements at NICA, at MPD, we would be able to test the properties of QCD matter in similar conditions, but in the laboratory. So this task is being carried out by the MPD collaboration. The collaboration is currently consisting of over 500 participants, 500 scientists from 39 institutes and the Joint Institute. And in total, they come from 11 countries, and the collaboration is actually constantly growing, which I'll comment on later. The recent important event in the activities of the collaboration was the fifth collaboration meeting, which was held at the end of April of this year. Of course, due to travel limitations, it was remote only, using actually the Zoom platform that we're using now. We had a very good participation, over 150 people registered and participated in the meeting with 27 submitted talks on with progress on construction and physics analysis in the MPD. And as I said, we constantly are expanding in terms of the member institutions, and at this meeting we admitted the next institution, University of Silesia in Poland. We not only have the collaboration meetings, but we want to formalize the collaboration between the institutes by signing the memoranda of understanding for several institutions. This has been going on already for the past year with this important milestones of signing the memoranda for all Mexican institution or Polish institution. And there are already more than half of the institutions either signed their memoranda of understanding or are in the final stages of the preparation. However, this activity has recently been a little bit stalled by the events with the pandemics. But we hope that it will pick up after the restrictions are lifted somehow. Now, I present you the official milestones for the assembly of the MPD detector in 2020-2021. So as we have heard, the May 30th was the expected date of the finalization of the MPD hull construction. We then want to proceed with the assembly of the magnet yoke. Then the solenoid should be transported from Italy and delivered to Dubna, so that both components of the magnet should be then ready for assembly by the end of this year. And in December, the preparation for switching of the solenoid should be carried out, which then will allow us to do magnetic field measurements, then installation of the support frame, And with this, we can then start to actually install all the subsystems of the MPD, so that by the end of 2021, commissioning of MPD is already underway and we are ready for cosmic ray tests. However, as you already heard earlier from Nikolai Agapov, the schedule had to be delayed by about 1 month. But we really, really hope that this is the last delay of this type. This was, of course, due to delay in the civil construction. And we really hope that by the end of June, we would finally be able to start assembling the magnet yoke. These are some pictures from the internal part of the MPD hall. And you have already seen a much more recent picture from Nikolai Agapov, and I strongly encourage you to watch the videos that Anatoly Sidorin has mentioned, because they really show the really, really recent status of the MPD hall. It's even in much better shape than you see on these pictures, which gives us confidence that really this final few weeks of delay is the last delay that we're going to have, and we cannot proceed with the installation of the MPD components. Now, what this would mean, we would like to finish the installation of the so-called stage one of the MPD. These are the central bar detectors, the TPC, time of flight, the electromagnetic calorimeter, and the selected forward detectors, the fast forward detector and the forward hadronic calorimeter. The combination of these detectors should provide us with our basic physics capabilities, that is, of course, tracking and the momentum measurement for particles with the resolution below 3% in reasonable momentum range, excellent particle identification for our particle types, and this should allow us to basically go ahead with our full physics program. Now, in order for the detector to actually work, we have to also prepare a number of support systems. This is the technical drawing of how we expect the MPD setup to look like. And you can see the magnet yoke, you can see the support structure for the end caps, and you can see a quite complicated structure for the support systems, detector, data acquisition, the slow control system, the power supply, and so on. And all of this actually forms the general MPD detector, which then can move in on the beam and start taking data. As you know, the MPD solenoid has been produced already quite some time ago. It's undergoing tests in the ASG company which produced it, and the decision was finally made to transport the solenoid to Dubna this year, which means that whenever there is a possibility to start to transport by sea, it should start this year, and by before the seas are no longer navigable, the solenoid should arrive here. By that time, we should be able to already assemble the magnet yoke and be ready with the measurements and for final tests of the solenoid, and then the assembly of the whole system together. In parallel, and to large extent unaffected by the delay in civil construction, are the preparation or the mass production of several detector components. So the main tracking detector is the time projection chamber. The vessel of the detector is basically being assembled right now, glued on and tested. What is going on at the moment is the mass production of the redine chambers, and this is going on more or less according to plan. The second important detector is the time of flight, which will surround the TPC. Again, the mass production of the detector components is underway. It is slightly slowed by the coronavirus pandemic, but it's still going on and proceeding more or less according to schedule. Anyway, we expect that the time of flight would also be ready for assembly in 2021. Also, the support system for the time of flight are basically also designed and ready, and then have to be installed in the MPD hall. The fast forward detector and the based on the Cherenkov counters is also designed, and the production of the modules is ongoing. Again, we don't see any danger of this detector not being ready for installation in 2021. Here, actually, I think the challenging part is to make sure that this detector is correctly integrated with the support structure around the beam pipe. The Forward Hadronic Calorimeter is based on a lead scintillator Schaschlik type calorimeter. As you can see, the modules for this detector are basically all produced. And now the work is ongoing on the design for the support structure and design for the installation procedure for this detector. The electromagnetic calorimeter is composed of almost 39,000 modules. The important development is that now it is going to be installed in a dedicated carbon fiber support structure. And as you probably know, there was the preliminary agreement that 25% of modules will be produced by JNR and Protfino, and this production is actually ongoing. The other three quarters, 35%, were supposed to be produced in China. However, so far we have received information that only funding for about 25% of all modules is secured. At the moment, we expect the funding for the rest of modules to come a bit later, which means that we will have to actually prepare a schedule for stage installation of electromagnetic calorimeter. But the full design of all the modules, of all the towers, and all the support structure of all the electronics is basically done. So we are just waiting for the mass production of modules. Now, all of these detector components need to be installed in a dedicated support structure, which is produced by a specialized a company working for the space industry, and this will allow us to first of all install the electromagnetic calorimeter in a modular way, and also will provide support for all other subsystems. I mean, the TPC time of flight as will be attached to this support structure. The detector, which is not part of stage one, the ITS, but I will also mention it because the preparation for the detector actually need to start now. And the preparation of the TDR of this detector is actually already quite advanced. Now, all of this, of course, is because we want to do physics with our detector. So we are in parallel, of course, proceeding with the preparation and consideration of the physics program of MPD. And this has been divided into so-called five physics working groups on global observables, spectrum, life flavor, hyper nuclei, correlations and fluctuations, electromagnetic controls, and heavy flavor. And these physics working groups are already formed, actively working, and showing results. For example, at the RAS collaboration meeting, all groups have shown progress on analysis in their respective areas. Here are some examples. These are the very recent studies of the centrality determination using data from Forward Hadronic Calorimeter. And you can see a nice correlation between the centrality measured with this method and the impact parameter, as well as a reasonably good resolution of the impact parameter with this data. We, of course, have a fully working tracking and the particle identification software, which allows us to perform studies of particle spectra, transfer momentum spectra as a function of rapidity and as a function of particle type. These are some examples of pion and kaon spectra and the respective acceptance for these particles. As you can see, this acceptance is, first of all, very large, and second of all, it is independent on the collision energy. Once we have the individual tracks registered and tracked and identified, we could proceed with the determination of vertices, and not only primary vertices, but also secondary vertices, which allow us to, of course, reconstruct the hyperons. And here are some performance studies, which shows you that MPD should be more than capable of measuring basically all hyperons and anti-hyperons that we can expect. This, of course, is done as a function of rapidity, as a function of transverse momentum. So the full information on the spectra of those particles will be available. A bit more complicated, but still definitely possible, reconstruction of resonances in MPD. This cannot rely on secondary vertices, but we can still use the invariant mass method to identify them as well, also in transverse momentum beams, in rapidity if necessary, and you can see a very wide array of resonances that could that should be very robustly reconstructed in MPD. These are some examples of efficiencies for such a reconstruction, as well as the proof, the closure test, that our reconstructed spectra actually match our input spectra from the Monte Carlo generators. Another critical physics result from an experiment like MPD is, of course, the collective flow studies. And again, we are here planning a very detailed study of collective flow versus basically all variables you can imagine, versus centrality, versus transverse momentum, versus rapidity, versus particle type, and many types of flow, that is directed flow, elliptic flow, and also higher moments of flow. And as you can see, these simulations are very well advanced, and they are all showing that we are able to very efficiently and very robustly reconstruct the collective behavior of matter in our collisions. With the electromagnetic parameter simulation is also ongoing and very advanced, showing you here some examples of what happens with the reconstruction of single photons and electrons with and without calibration. With this data, we can then reconstruct the pi zero eta mesons, as well as attempt to reconstruct the dilapton spectra. And again, this study is ongoing, and specifically we would have to carefully reevaluate our capabilities once we have the final decision of what kind of configuration of ECAL modules we will have in stage one. Now, all these activities have been used to prepare what we call the MPD first physics document, the report on expected physics results on the first round of MPD. This document is a little bit waiting to be finalized, because we are still in the discussion with our accelerator division colleagues on the possible first beams in NICA. So far, it looks like this would be bismuth-bismuth collisions at 9 GeV. And with this data, we can finish the preparation of this document, which describes the readiness of the MPD detector, calibration computing readiness, and the selection of physics observables for the first possible first publications from MPD. So I have shown you the progress or the current status of the MPD project. And of course, this presentation is also the request for the extension of this project for the next 5 years, from 2021 to 2025. The project leaders are Vyacheslav Glovatyuk and Vladimir Krakaridze. And here is the financial table copied from the proposal that you all have available at the Indigo webpage. And with this, I want to summarize our collaboration formation is finished. So we are moving to routine operation of all the MPD structures, and also on formal agreements and organic growth of the collaboration. We have defined the formal deadlines for MPD project milestones in terms of detector construction, commissioning, and starting of operation. All components of the first stage of the detector are advanced in production. Commission is expected for 2021, as you have seen in the schedule. In parallel, the performance studies for the full physics program is underway, and we request the extension of the MPD project for the years 2021-2025. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mikhail. So, Adam. So this presentation is now open. I have a couple of questions for you. I was pleased to see that the end of 2021 still remains the target date for starting the commissioning of the detector, in spite of all the situation. So this is very encouraging. However, I wonder whether there is I have a couple of concerns that from what I heard, and I would like you to address them. The first one is, you mentioned that the magnet should arrive to Dubna in September. So we are now end of June. If you want to have the magnet in September in Dubna, I believe that you must have by now a very detailed plan for the transportation. When it goes from the factory in Italy to I don't know where, the boat, the stations, the dates, there should be a very detailed plan of the transportation. Does this plan exist, or this is still a wishful thinking that the magnet will come in September? My second concern refers to the ICAL. From what you told me, on day one, we may at best have a 50% coverage of the ICAL. This is going to have a serious impact in the physics program of several observables. And is this impact being studied and assessed by the physics working groups?
Yes. Sorry, Itzhak, may I reply on the first question concerning the magnet?
Sure.
Because I am aware yes. on all the details, or most of the details. We have negotiations with ISG company, and the full responsibility of this company is delivery of the magnet. Nevertheless, all the custom clearance, all other procedures are under very deep investigation since already several months. They have each day exchange of the mails and clarifications of tiny details of these transportations. Tomorrow, not tomorrow, but on Thursday morning, we have big, not only the first one, but one of the series video meeting with GSI management concerning the ISG management to clarify some details which we not yet agreed. And first, what we should do, we should really assemble the yoke and to do the all necessary geometry measurement to be sure that coil cryostat will properly fit inside. And that should be done as soon as possible, so we expect that within a week, a couple of weeks, we shall start mounting. Then the representative of ISG company should come to Dubna to really to make a stamp to approve the performance of the yoke assembly and give a green light for the start of transportation. So we have very tight schedule, but we are working very hard to fulfill the schedule. Probably if you have any more questions, I could reply on that.
Yeah, thank you very much for these clarifications, Vladimir. I appreciate that, and I wish you a successful result, the thing, because the time window is well defined. You have to come, the magnet has to come before winter time, and the window of opportunity is restricted. So I hope very much that you are successful on that. Otherwise, that will imply a very strong, significant delay. So wish you all the best on that.
I have a question to this topic. And when you get 50%, how you distribute the 50% on one half of rapidity? And if yes, have you prepared the stability calculations, whether your whole system, which is now not anymore balanced, is holding up to that? That's one question. And then I have another question. Low PT resonance is very important. And you have shown that there are limits. You start only at one PT, at one GVPT. Why is the limit? Material.
So, I understand that your questions correspond to the ECAL, right?
Yes.
So, I think the answer to the setup of the modules is not yet been settled. And the reason is exactly as you said. We need to first have the assessment for our mechanical construction guys of what is possible mechanically in terms of the introduction of these modules, whether they have to be on the bottom, for example, whether they have to be equally distributed on both sides. And only with this we can really start the serious reconsideration of the performance of the detector. As for the reconstruction at low of resonances, I understand. So here, I'm not sure if you are talking about the, again, the ECAL measurement or the resonances in the tracking?
You gave a picture on resonances. I think it was tracking.
Yes.
And, so you started at 1 GeV, more or less, 800.
Let me reshare the window.
Picture 23. Yes. Figure 23.
I will go to this slide. So for us, of course, the limiting factor is the lower cutoff of the tracking, which is about 200 MeV. This you can see here. Maybe with pions we can go as low as 200 MeV. If you look at resonances here, for example, the acceptance goes to almost zero. If you look here.
Yeah, that's, for instance, if you look at 22, figure 22, just one before, you only look at PT above, is it?
No. I'm sorry. Maybe I was not clear. This is just an example of how it looks in a given PT bin.
Okay, fine.
If you want to see the acceptance, yeah. This is the picture, and then we really go up to zero, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much, Adam. And now we have the proposal from Compass 2 that will be presented by Alexander Nagaitsev. Okay. So, Alexander, are you there?
Okay,
you could start sharing your screen.
Okay, share my screen. Okay, can I start?
Yes, please.
Okay, I would like to present the talk on prolongation of the project Compass 2, which is realized in framework of the studies of nucleon and hadron structure in CERN. The prolongation of this project is proposed for 2021 and 2022. It is well known the Compass is a high energy spin physics experiment at the SPC at CERN at Geneva, and main purpose on Compass and Compass 2 experiment is to study of hadron structure and hadron spectroscopy with high intensity, high energy muon and hadron beams. Compass experiment was approved in CERN in 1997, and final memorandum of understanding was signed in September 1998. And Compass 2 proposal suggested by the same collaboration as continuation of Compass project has been approved in May of 2010, and corresponding theme and GNR was prolonged up to 2012. Mainly, Compass 2 is dedicated to transverse and 3D structural nucleons using deeply vectorial compton scattering, hard exclusive meson production, and semi-inclusive deep inelastic scattering and polarized Drell-Young reactions. Approved in 2010, Compass 2 started in 2011 with Primakov run and DVCS pilot run using muon beam and long liquid hydrogen target and new recoil detector and new electromagnetic calorimetry built in Dubna. Shortly, I would like to show some set physical result obtained by Compass 2 in 2017-2020 with essential contribution physicists from our institute. First of all, I would like to show some set results on polarized Drell-Young process. It is well known the structure of polarized nucleon within twist 2 can be approximated by QCD model, which is described by set of 8 transverse momentum dependent parton distribution function, weighing in core all possible coloration between nucleon spin and parton spin and the transverse component of the intrinsic parton motion. And this is well known, the more powerful method used for access this TMD PDFs is the study of the transverse spin-dependent azimuthal asymmetries arising in Drell-Young process. So the main aims of the Leon Compass 2 program are to perform measurements for such kind of asymmetries to get data on sievers, Bohr models, transversity, and predzelosity PDS. Also, one main topic under the Leon Compass 2 program is to test a fundamental QCD universality product prediction on sign change in the Leon and CDS PDS. First, next slide, I would like to show some results on a measurement on the such kind of asymmetries, which first can be considered as first measurement of the spin-dependent Drell-Young process, which was done by Compass 2 experiment with usage SPC pi minus beam with energies 190 GeV and with transversely polarized ammonia target. This asymmetry was obtained with data taken in 2015, where we analyzed dimuon events in events with invariant mass between 4.3 GeV squared and 8.5 GeV squared. One can see this is results on the transverse CPDF with some explanation of the correlation between quark and nucleon spins given on the left part of this slide. Next slide shows the results on the predzelosity PDF, which also obtained with data taken in 2015. And one can see the results published on the already published in collaboration, Compass collaboration. And third results on asymmetries is Sievers Drell-Young time transversely dependent spin asymmetries, which obtained in Compass. And one can see the results in a poor statistical uncertainties because the total number of poor events of Drell-Young selected for analysis from data taken in 2015 was equal about 35,000 events. And this work was prolonged, experimental work on the Drell-Young process was prolonged in 2018, and results will be published soon. And last slide on the Drell-Young process, polarized Drell-Young process, dedicated the test of the QCD prediction, which shows us that the Sievers asymmetry obtained in Drell-Young process is found to be consistent with fundamental QCD prediction, and one can see that more favorite results, which can be more favorite conclusion from our results, can be done that. So change the sign is change between Drell-Young and CDS reaction, and these Drell-Young results are obtained with the same scale compatible with recent Compass 2 CDS measurement and allows performed unique tests of fundamental QCD universal prediction. Next results dedicated the also very interesting topic on Compass 2 experiment with essential participation of physicists from our institute. This is searching for exclusive production of exotic germonia in reaction on given of the right part of the slide and diagram. And data analysis was performed using two sets of data with two different energies of upcoming muon bin, which equal 160 GeV and 200 GeV. Figure graph on this slide shows the mass spectrum for gypsy pi plus pi minus subsystem in reaction given on the diagram with threshold to 5 GeV, and mass spectrum exhibits two peaks structure below 4 GeV with position and width which are compatible with prediction for decay of psi and X3872. This spectra was fitted by function with H3 parameters including all possible background parameters, and as results, the yield for X3872 was equal about 70 events, and mass equal to 38760 plus minus 10 MeV. And also fit yields the width of the sigma M equal about 23 MeV. Next. Concerning cross-sections, I would like to say that to determine cross-section of exclusive above-mentioned resonance in reaction shown in the previous slide, one was used special inclusive production of gypsy of target nucleon, and this result was taken as a normalization, and also we use special Monte Carlo data and some set of results of previous compass measurements. Using all this data, one was determined the cross-section for reaction gamma N and X3872 pi plus and N multiply branching ratio is shown on this slide. Also on the plot, one can see the set of the cross-section obtained previous exotic resonance studies with ZC, and also one can see that all these results were published by Compass collaboration. I would like to mention all these results were obtained with essential contribution of physicists from our institute. Next result is dedicated to the azimuthal asymmetries of charged hadrons produced in high energy mean scattering of longitudinally polarized deuteron. This results were obtained using special and special method of data analysis, which consists of studying of depends azimuthal asymmetries versus azimuthal angle, which can be obtained using five special five parameter fittings of on the size of fit and present independent terms, in which independent terms include four modulation predicted by theory. I mean sinus phi, sinus 2 phi, sinus 3 phi, and cosinus phi. All these results are shown on the graph on this slide, and except five independent term, all this modulation amplitude are very small and no kinematical dependence observed within experimental circuits. One can see also some plot in the bottom of this slide where this method of analysis was compared with usual method of analysis of deep inelastic asymmetries, and one can see a very good agreement between two results. And next, my set of slides will be dedicated to program, experimental program of the COMPASS 2 experiment for 2021-2022. Mainly, this program will be dedicated to continue TMD COMPASS 2 studies with semi-inclusive reaction, semi-inclusive deep inelastic reaction. This proposal was approved by CERN in 2018, and main aim of this experimental studies is to obtain new data on transverse spin structure of nucleon. Is one of more important topics on recent theoretical and experimental research in the field of high energy physics. It is well known that good knowledge of dependence of hadron distribution on the transverse momentum of the parton and the relationship of this dependence to spins of the parton is very necessary to understanding the orbital motion of the parton and moving forward to more structured picture beyond the collinear representation of the parton distribution. In PCD, as I said before, in leading twist, the spin structure can be described by eight parton distribution function given on this slide, and it is clear that one and more main method of the investigation above mentioned PDFs is semi-inclusive deep inelastic scattering process of the polarized lepton on the polarized different nucleotides. Such measurements one are the most important point of physical program for COMPASS and COMPASS 2 experiments. The data taken periods on this on for these topics were performed in a framework on COMPASS experiment in 2002, 2004, 2007, 2010 with different with various polarized targets. But new measurements as little bit are the aims which can be listed as follows. First of all, this very interesting to obtain new data on Collins and Sears asymmetries, getting new data on transversity, measurement of tensor structure, which is some integration of transversity PDFs, and new data on G2 structure function, measurement of asymmetries and process with two hadrons production, exclusive vector meson reaction also. It is well known that two experiments, Hermes and COMPASS, have performed very interesting measurement on the different beam energies, Hermes at 27 and Compasso 160 GV squared GV, and shown beyond any doubt on the correctness the three most interesting PDF. This is a Sievers PDF and Transversity PDF and Collins PDF. Compass 2 plans to perform the standard set of standard 1 year data taking, studying the with energy 160 GV on the transverse with transverse polarized electron target. We plan to have some impact of the proposed measurements, which can be qualified on figures, which is qualified in figures on this slide, and which gives a ratio on each x value and on the present projected errors on the extracted PDFs. One can see the gain is precision of the D quark range from the factor of 2 and small x and more the factor of 4 at large x. And approximately the same factor of 2 is for quark distributions on the transversity. To perform these measurements, the experimental compass experimental apparatus of Compass 2 will be used approximately the same which was for Compass previous measurement of semi-inclusive reaction. Just we essentially improve DAQ, we essentially improve trigger, and some improvement and modification target cell also was done. Then we proposed to have average polarization on target at level of 50% and approximately the same request beam which was obtained for 2010, and we plan to have running of 150 days with about 6 times 10 to 18 protons, and T6 and is expected. This enough high statistics. And concerning organization of the our work in the this program, I would say that according to the Compass 2 memorandum, which signed by director of our institute, directorate of our institute, we have responsibilities for three detectors and some participation in polarized target, support engineer structure experimental hall, data taking system, data collection, and of course data analysis. This memorandum of understanding was approved up to end of 2025 without obligation of detectors beyond 2021. According to this document, we propose the following plan of the work in for 2021-2022. In 2021, we plan to participate in Compass data taking, maintains two detectors which will be used for data taking to study CDS reaction, and of course some develop of software and analysis experimental data. For 2022, we plan to complete the work with detectors and continue analysis of experimental data Compass and Compass 2. On this slide, one can see this total list of the employers of our institute which participate on Compass 2 experiment, with total number of FTA equal 14.5, is essentially decreased comparing in previous presentation of our project and session of PAC. And one can see also the list responsibilities in Compass 2 experiment with mentioned by red our persons who are responsibilities of some elements of the apparatus. Concerning timelines and financial support, I would say that during 2018-2020, Compass 2 spent about $624,000, mainly for scientific trip, and about $250,000 for equipment, which includes some contribution for command fund of the collaboration. For 2001-2002, we asked for $310,000 from JANA budget, mainly for participation of physicists in data taking and maintenance of the detector.